There you go. You know, when I first went over to Taiwan, actually the first time I was there was I landed there in 1972, and I remember going to church there then, and the church services had a curtain down the middle. You remember that? Did you ever do that in Korea? No. But there was a curtain down the middle of the church, and the women and the children sat on one side, and the men sat on the other side. And the pastor stood in front of the men at the beginning of the service, but when he preached his sermon, he had to kneel down and preach it on his knees. You never saw any of that, right? But I'm glad I don't have to do that, kneel down in front of you, okay? They used to do that in Japan too, and I guess it was a kind of a form of piety or something, you know, to be the servant. But there's many things, you know, in the Bible and the Word of God that we do, and there's good reasons we do them. But we don't always do it the same way in every place, do we? I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to talk about, in our lessons this week, about serving the Lord and becoming a person that takes the side, as we say, who is on the Lord's side. That means when there's an argument, for instance, in two people, there's two opposite forces, all right? Which side are you on? And you've known that in your life, right? I mean, you've been before in a fight, you know, and then someone says, are you for them or for me? Okay? And we're going to see in the Bible, especially tonight, that there's things that God puts in the Word of the Lord that are good examples for us and help us make this choice. Now, Joshua chapter 24, and look down all verses 1 to verse 15. You look at it, and I'm going to read it to you, all right? It says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron. I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen with unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwell in the wilderness, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, and that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with a sword, nor with a bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? Now these are the words of Joshua as he gets ready to pass on and go to heaven. All right? And what's happened, if you remember the story, how the children of Israel went down to Egypt. And you remember when they went? Anybody remember why they went there in the first place? Why did they go to Egypt? You guys are brilliant. Anybody go to Sunday school? Why did they go to Egypt? Did they? Do you remember there was a time where it says there was a famine, right? And there was no food. Remember that? And in Genesis, Joseph had been sold as a slave, and God had sent him down to Egypt. And so Jacob brought his family into Egypt because there was no food in the land of Israel. There was a famine, okay? So they moved, okay? And what happened was, they got down to Egypt, and after the famine was over, they liked it there. It wasn't bad. And so they stayed there, the Bible says, in a land of Goshen on the Nile River. And that's a land where there's a lot of grass and you can cattle do well there and stuff. So they stayed there, all right? And they wound up staying there in Egypt 400 years, okay? And God had told Abraham that was going to happen, but he said, don't worry, after 400 years, I'm going to bring you out, okay? Now, 400 years passed. It'd be kind of hard to believe God was still around, right? If you hadn't seen Him. But they came out, all right? Moses leads them out. Remember that? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. You must, I mean, you know, you can wake up. All right. So, who's Moses? He's a singer. No, he's not a singer. Who's Moses?
Some old guy.
Some old guy, right? Okay. But before he was an old guy, who was he? No. Who was he before that? Boy, well, I'm telling you what, your pastor is getting Bible class notes like tonight, brother. Who's the youth director? You're on call tonight. Here's what happened, all right? Pharaoh got afraid because he saw all the Israelites were having more and more babies. And the population was switching. And so he made a decree. He said, all right, if there's a man born, a baby boy that's born, if it's a male, throw it in the Nile River. Let the crocodiles eat it. Let it drown. You have to do that, okay? So it was called mass abortion for male babies. Only the ladies could live, all right? Why would he do that? Because girls were servants and easy to overcome, see? So that's what decree went on. And the Bible says that Moses was born and his mother saw that he was a goodly child, that he was wholesome, that he was a child that had a glow about him, all right? And so she made a basket. You remember that?
Yes.
And she put him in a basket, right? Right?
Yes.
You ever heard the cliche called a basket case? You know where that comes from?
Yes.
It's a Jewish saying, all right? And it comes from that story, all right? And a basket case means that you're at wit's end, all right? It means that you've gone over the limit, all right? It follows through the Bible, okay? They got a lot of basket cases, right? Paul the Apostle's a basket case. Remember that? He gets let down by a basket. So anyway, Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses. And long story short, she adopts him. And Moses, even though he's Jewish, he's raised and educated by the government school of what would be like the president, all right? Pharaoh be like the president of the country. So he's the adopted child of the president. So he's raised in the schools to worship the gods, to do everything they do, okay? That's Moses. And God speaks to him, and the Bible says, we'll see later, and he chooses, he makes a choice when he gets older, that he is going to go back to where his family roots are. And God says, I want you to bring my people out of Egypt, okay? So he brings them across the Red Sea. Now, what happened at the Red Sea? You got to know this. Please, please tell me you know this one. What happened at the Red Sea?
It parted.
Then now, don't tell me they went swimming at a barbecue. All right? Why? And why did the Red Sea part? Why did it need to part? But why did they need to get across it? Who was chasing them? And what did the Egyptians want to do to them?
Kill them.
And why did they want to kill them? Because they're Israelites, right? Okay. So they're chased up, right? So they're down there, and the Lord opens the Red Sea, right? And they go across, and what happens is the Egyptian army goes into the Red Sea, and what happens? They had a party. No. They got drowned in the Red Sea, okay? So all the army is killed, and the Jewish people never fired a shot. So they go into the Promised Land, they get up there, Moses takes them in, and when they first get there, they send spies in, right? How many spies? Are they American or Chinese? Were they hackers? Did they hack into the Promised Land? How did they get there?
They snuck in,
all right. Well, they kind of snuck in, all right. There's a road there, and they went over a road. What did they find when they got there?
Giants.
Giants. And what else did they find?
Grapes.
What kind of grapes?
Giant grapes,
okay. What else did they find? Everything, flowers, everything, and everything was what?
Giants,
all right, okay. So if you're a baseball fan, who do you root for?
Giants.
The Giants, all right, obviously, right? That's what you want, right? So look here. So these people get there, and they go in, and they're afraid because of the what?
Giants.
The Giants, okay? Now that's a natural thing, right? Are you ever afraid when somebody's bigger than you? When you were a little kid, big kid came up, pushed you around, were you afraid?
Yeah.
Why? Because he's a giant, right? Okay. So that fear comes on him, okay? So when you think something is a giant, you usually get afraid, right?
Yeah.
Right? And you make the wrong choice, right? Now they blew it. So they said, nope, we're not going in, we can't do it, okay? So God lets them wander where for how many years?
40 years.
Oh, you guys are good. Now you see you're getting it, okay? All right? 40 years. And when did they build the ark? They didn't build the ark. Aha, see, I got you, okay? How many animals, when they built the ark, how many animals went in the tabernacle?
Nothing.
Aha, see, you find, now you're getting it, okay? So what happens is this. The story in the wilderness is that these people are sentenced to die in the wilderness. Their generation never got where God would have sent them had they obeyed. And that's a real common thing in life. The generation before doesn't always obey God to the fullest. So they miss a blessing, all right? But every generation of people in the Bible is given equal opportunity, all right? So you come in and they go in the wilderness. Now when you get to Joshua then, Moses, he goes up on a mountain and he dies and God buries him. And then Joshua leads them into the Promised Land, okay? The whole book of Joshua is about that. About him going in and taking back the land that was already theirs. So it's not about Joshua going in and taking land away from people unfairly. It's about Joshua going in and saying, I'm sorry, this is our house. You shouldn't be living in it. The land was given to us. And he has a title deed. Where did he get that? Abraham had it. You remember that? Abraham bought property in Hebron and bought these. So all of this is there. So they're going in and God says, I'm going to help you drive these people back out so you can have your house back. Right? And I'll do it a little at a time. Well, after all this is over, these been going around in the wilderness, okay, following the tabernacle, and they've got the place to worship, and this thing's going on. You think that they've been following the Lord, that they already chose this, right? It looks like it. But at the end of it, when Joshua is going to die, he says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Now it looks like they already made the choice, because all their parents were wandering them all the wilderness. They had a tabernacle. They're following the pillar and the cloud. Remember that? Moses is not an idolater, right? They're not in Egypt. So the kids think, what are you talking about? But the reason this comes is the same reason it comes for you, it came for me, is because your parents never get to choose for you when you become of age, right? Now, remember when you were born? And you don't remember when you were born, do you? That'd be bad. When you were little, right? And you look at those pictures and you remember your parents dressed you, right? They chose, right? Right? And they put those ridiculous clothes on you, you know? And you got this weird looking hat, you know, and you know, and little fat cheeks, you know, and then they take the embarrassing pictures where they think it's fun to take a photo of you with no clothes on and show it to all your friends when you're in high school and you're all embarrassed, right? And what that shows you in life is this: there are certain decisions that God makes for you that you never get to make. So you have to realize that the decisions that God made for you are all pointed to make your life the kind of life that enjoys fulfilling the purposes of God and all the joy of the Lord later. Now, what is the choices God made for you that you can never change, all right? Who chose your parents? Did you? No. You weren't a little, you know, egg run around and say, "I want red hair. I don't like black hair. Please, I want to be tall. I don't want to be short and fat." No, I don't. You didn't get to do that, right? Right? You had nothing to do with that. Let me ask you something else. Who picked your name? You didn't. You're laying down there, you know, and wetting your pants and everything. And you know, they say, "What?" to your mom and dad, right? What are you going to name them? And your dad, if it was your dad, he said, "Lao-i, Lao-ar, Lao-san, Lao-su," you know, But they gave you a name, right? Okay. Who chose if you were a man or a woman, a female or a male? God did, right? And you see, and God, it says in Mark 10, right? It says, He made them from the beginning of the creation of God. God made them male and female. Your parents didn't choose that. God did, all right? And He says to you later, all right, and this is why you don't need to worry about it, okay? We live in a strange age where in my country now they're saying, "Oh, I don't know if I feel like a man or a woman." And that's not a problem, you see, because God says this: which of you, by taking thought, can make yourself taller? Anybody? You can't, right? So that means you could think all day that you're a girl when you're a boy, and you know what? You'll always be a boy. God decides that. He didn't let you choose it. Now, why did He let you choose that? Well, because God has purposes for men and purposes for women. And God does that. So your life is full of choices when you grow up that are already made for you, that have to be made for you, or you wouldn't be able to grow up and learn later to come to the choices that you can make. Now, how do you know when you're starting to mature and get older, okay, in a child? Well, one of the first things that you know is when you were little, you know, some of you remember, you don't remember this, or maybe you do. If I were to go to your house and visit your mom and dad, you know, going to have dinner, if you were taking a bath, you would have run right in the living room without any clothes on to see me. "Look, Brother Freeman, look what I got, not a stitch of clothes on." Didn't bother you a bit, right? Right? I mean, I hope it does now, right? Okay. My little girl was that way, you know. coming in, you know. Oh, yeah, all right, all right. And no bother. And then all of a sudden one day I remember I walked in her room and she went, "Ah! I'm getting dressed. You're three." You know, "I'm getting dressed. You can't see me, Daddy." Now, what does that come? We call that the maturing of her consciousness, right? Her conscience. Okay, where did that come from? In your Bible, it comes from when Adam and Eve took this fruit and got the conscience, right? The first thing they knew was that they were naked. And what happened? When they knew they were naked, they became ashamed. Okay? All right? So when this comes into your life, then see, when you are able to become ashamed of certain things, then now God puts into your life choices that you start to make. And that's where it begins, all right? Now, as I said, you don't get to choose if you're male or female. God did that because there's a plan for you, all right? You don't choose your parents, because God put you with certain parents because He wants those two parents, whether you think they're the greatest or the worst, from them will be placed in your life the perfect things that God needs in your life for you to be the person that He wants you to be. Like Moses. Moses is born to slaves. He's raised by a government outside. But his life with God, you see, God used all this education part and language, but Moses needed the heart of a servant, and that would come from his parents, see. So these are the things God puts in your lives, all right? These choices. Now, in the Bible then, we come to Joshua here, and he says this question. Choose this day whom you will serve. Now that's the question for you, okay? You have to choose, all right? And somebody says, "Well, when do I have to choose?" Today. Why? Because I'm here asking you to. And God arranged that and put it here today, see? Now, here's some things you need to look at in the Bible as you consider choosing the Lord, okay? Why would you choose the Lord? People, you know, people mess up and don't choose the Lord for a lot of reasons, all right? And because you're teenagers, all right, and you're young and vigorous, you know, and I know it's hard to believe, but actually Pastor Crocker, over 100 years ago, was a teenager himself. And and I, you know, and being 40 years younger than him, and a liar. But you come to the place where you have to be careful, because you know, some people mess their life up because they want revenge on their parents. They get a rebellious heart, you know, and they, "I don't like my parents said this and I can't do this." And so you say, "Does it ever, it happened?" It did to me. My dad, after he became a Christian for a while, became a pastor. Well, I didn't mind answering the question, "Where does your dad work?" and saying, "He works at Fisher Body." That was a car plant back then. Now it makes trucks or something. But when I had to say, "He's a pastor," it embarrassed me a little bit. I don't know why. I guess everybody always made fun of pastors. If you don't know how to work, be a pastor. You know, if you don't know how to do anything else, go to Bible college. There was jokes, okay? And everybody didn't like going to church, so I was embarrassed. And I remember I went through a period of time where I did things and said things just because I wanted it to hurt to get back at my parents, all right? And I have to tell you, I made some bad choices because of a stupid feeling that I needed to revenge my parents for telling me, "You have to go to church. You will do this. You have to do this." Okay? That happens. Sometimes you make bad mistakes because of you want friends. And I did that too. And sometime if you're a person that, you know, my brother, Brother Crocker knows him well. He's very tall. Basketball, he's an athlete, you know. When he was in high school, he was popular, you know. And when they used to see me by him, no one believed I was his brother. Because he was a basketball star, see, but I looked like a basketball. I looked like a round thing with eyes on it, little fat boy, you know. And he's tall and I'm down here wobbling around, you know, see. And so there was a time when I wanted friends so bad that I made some mistakes, because to get friends, I would do anything I thought these people wanted me to, so that they would accept me, all right? And those are normal conflicts and struggles. We'll talk about them later, all right? When you choose God, those conflicts don't go away, but there's things about choosing God that will help you get over that so that you can be the person God wants you to be, all right? Now, first thing, why should you choose God? Why should you choose to serve God, all right? Well, the first reason is we call it a proven choice. Now, in Joshua 24:14, it says, "Therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him sincerely, truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Now, this means that the choice to serve the Lord, when we say is a proven choice, we mean that other people have already done it, and it always works. So in your life, you need to know this as a young person. You will never find any person on earth or in the Bible that gave their life to serve God and was full of regrets. You'll meet people that regretted something they did wrong, but they never had regret when they were serving God and in His favor, because it's proven to be the right choice. Now, where does it prove itself in the Bible? Well, the first place it shows up is when things change, it proves to be the right choice. First big change in the Bible, you know what it was? It was the Garden of Eden to outside the garden. That was a big change, all right? And yet, Adam and Eve worshiping God, it proved to be the right choice because God took care of them, okay? In Israel here, they went through a time of change. These kids are moving. And serving God and following God, see, provides the stable part in a time of change. What happened during the time of change? Well, they went to new environments, they went to new land, but in all of that, God always was there for them when they needed Him. Now, here's what happens to you. You're at home right now, okay? And you're going through changes where you want to know if you're beautiful, and you want to know if you're going to be able to talk without a high-pitched, squeaky voice, you know, and all that. You know, your feet are getting bigger than your nose, and then pretty soon, you know, your eyebrows grow between your ear. Everything, you know, it's changing, right? And you get up in the morning, and most of you, when you were a little kid, your mom dressed you. You could care less what you look like, right? And now you get up an hour just to see what it is you look like. You look in the mirror, you know, press it, you know, and then when you get around people, you want to look right, you know. So if everybody's wearing red shirts with yellow buttons, you got to have one, right? Don't you feel that way, see? And where does that come from? Well, that comes from these desires and things that naturally come into us. As change takes place, we need a constant. Serving God provides that. So for their lives, as they move from place to place, see, the Lord says, choose God. So like reading the Bible, praying, doing that every day means that if you're living in Singapore, but all of a sudden you move to Hong Kong, your parents move there, there's something you can do that's exactly the same in both places that stabilizes the change. And that is the Bible, prayer, living for God. It may be in a different city, but the stable part is serving God. It's proven in change. It comes in a conflict. It says in Israel, right, all these people were their enemies. Remember that? The Amorites, the Hittites, the Termites, right? All of that stuff, see? And all of these ites come in there, you know? And they hate the Jews, or they got a beef with the Jews, and they fight with the Jews. In a conflict, serving God proves to be the right choice. It always does. In real life, same thing. When there's a conflict in your home, and if Jesus Christ in the heart of a person will stabilize it. And when they reject Christ, their life is insane. It's just all off the charts, right? It goes all which way. But they come back to the Bible and prayer and they calm down, all right? And that's what God meant to... That's why choosing Him and serve Him is a very important part, okay? Because service to God is an eternal thing. So it makes it through all kinds of conflicts. It makes it through personal conflicts where you are having a hard time figuring out what should I be, what should I do. God will help you with that. It makes it through conflicts with another person. I just don't like them, you know. They don't like me. I can't stand that person, you know, because they got an A and I got an E and all, you know. Whatever it is, it'll get you through that, see. Serving God gets you through that kind of a conflict. The last one, it's proven in times of need. When Israel needed things, who gave it to them? Who gave Israel what they needed? God. So in Joshua 24, what does he say? Over and over he says this, when you were there, I gave you. Okay? So here's the bottom line. I can tell you this from experience. If you choose to serve the Lord, and you choose the Lord, all right, it will never, ever prove to be the wrong or the bad choice. It is impossible. You will have things happen to you that are bad, but the choice will be correct. In your Bible is the story of a guy, Joseph, right? How many unfair things happened to Joseph? Hundreds, right? I mean, his dad made him, his brothers hate him by a coat of many colors. He didn't even dream him out. They hated him. He went out there, got thrown in a pit, got sold. Lady wanted to sleep with her, and he gets put in prison for something he didn't do. Remember all that stuff, see? And all this unfair stuff happens to him, all right? Now, in all the unfair things and all the conflicts and all the bad stuff, what kind of person should he have been? Angry, right? He should have been angry, right? If you went home and you found out that your older brother or sister just sold you, how'd you feel? Happy? Huh? And if you got a younger brother or sister, please don't sell them during the week, all right? Wait till the camp's over, okay? We need the attendance. See, when bad things happen to you that are out of your control, you know what you naturally think? You think, where is God? Why, if you love me, God, why did this happen? Okay? All right? But when you choose to serve God, as Joseph did, you never worry about that. Because when he's in prison, what does it say he did? It says he was faithful to serve. So what happened? Even in prison, in a different environment, well, the guy that keeps the prison said, this guy's a good guy. Let him have freedom in the prison. Let him do this. You see what I mean? So serving God is always the right choice. It's proven. It's proven. You never have to doubt if that's the right choice. It's the right one. The second thing about it is, the reason you need to choose God is because it's an individual choice. He lets you make it. Now, you're probably right about at the age where you're getting close to where you want to make some choices. And that's where you get in trouble with your mom and dad sometime, right? And you sit there sometime for hours trying to figure out a way to get them to say yes so that you can go down to the mall with these people or wherever it is you want to go, or go to this event or whatever you want to do. And I just know they're not going to let me, but maybe if I ask, maybe if I frame it and say, oh daddy, I love you so much, you know, and you're the one most wonderful daddy in the world, and wonderful dads and dads that love their kids always let us go to the bologna factory to watch them blow up, you know, whatever it is you want to do, you know. And so you're trying to get your parents on board to do this kind of stuff. The choice to serve God is different. Your mom and dad can't make it for you. And that's why you can live and be raised in a Christian home. You can be raised by parents who do serve God. And you can choose and say, I'm not going to do it. And if you do, I can tell you with 100% assurance, you made the wrong choice. Because no one that's ever resisted and chosen against God ended with a happy life. You go find any of them, their lives are full of confusion, their lives are full of jealousy, their competition, they're never satisfied, they have no happy. And why is that? Because only serving the Lord brings stability. And that's why the choice needs to be made, because you get to make it. All right. Now, it's individual choice, and therefore it requires certain things of you, all right, if you're going to do it. First, it'll require of you, you're individually have to put faith in the testimony of other people. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means here they are, and here's this old guy, Joshua. And he probably looks like Pastor Crocker, old, feeble, you know, white-headed, you know, trying to find his glasses, you know. But he's there, so, and these young guys look at him and go, this guy is ready to kick. He's ready to fall off the log here. I mean, and Joshua says, he says, choose this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he says to them all the words in here from God. What God did and how God did this, all right? Now, when God called Abraham out, were they there? Were they alive? No. When the Red Sea opened, some of them weren't alive. When their families lived in Egypt, were they alive? No. So what did they have to do? They have to believe the words and the testimony for a lot of the things that Joshua, this older person, tells them. All right? And that, we say, takes faith. That's where you look at a person and you say, what is that person trying to do for me? You do it with your mom and dad all the time, right? And you look at him, you think, you don't love me, or you don't. If you loved me, you know, you'd let me buy a new Ferrari, you know, or whatever it is. See, and if you loved me, you know, you wouldn't, you know. And you put all that out there, see. But let me ask you something: why do you suppose your parents are so interested in how you live your life and what you do? Why would they be so interested in you? Why? Because they love you. And there's another reason. Because when people get older, they know very clearly the consequences of making a mistake. They know them. So you know what they want for you? They don't want you to have to learn things the hard way like they did. They don't want you to have to go through the things that they did. They want to protect you, all right? They have your best interest in mind, okay? That's why the devil works overtime to tell you that they don't love you. Because if you come to believe that they don't love you because of this rule, or they don't love you because of that, okay, you know what you'll do? You then would do the same as Eve did in the garden. You will take something that's not yours, you will reject something that God said, and you will become something that you never, ever wanted to be. And that's the course of sin in a person's life, see? So faith in the testimony of other people is important. And that's why you go to church. The Bible says there's elders. And you look at these people and you consider, how do I want to end up when I'm 60 years old? How does a person at 60 years old who decided that they were going to be a gambler and alcohol and all that stuff and whatever, how do they end up? How does the person end up who chose the Lord, who read the Bible, who went to church, how do they end up? You see, it's a proven choice, but it's individual. And you look at these other people. Then it takes requiring faith in the power of God. As you get older, you learn more and more how your strength is not enough. All right. Now, when you were little, God put those things in your life. So when you were little, He put you in a situation where you went out and maybe you tried to pick something up. You ever do that? And you wanted to lift something. It was, oh man, you just couldn't pick it up. And then your dad came over, picked it up with one hand. Now, what did you say? Man, is my dad strong? He could beat anybody up. You know, little kids say that, right? And the power then you attributed to your dad had to do with his ability to pick up what you needed picked up, okay? Now, in your life then, what you have to learn to do as you choose God is to exercise faith in the power of God. And it can come many ways. If you have parents, for instance, that are not believers, all right? Or even parents that are believers, and there's a problem. Do you think they would listen to God more than you? Is that a possibility? They would, right? Because why? Well, if God's there, He knows how to say it, right? Can God change circumstances? In the Bible He does, right? He says to these people, I sent hornets. What's that mean? He sent a bunch of bees in to run these giants out of the land. Giant people eating giant grapes run from giant bees. Isn't that amazing? And so, you know why? Because giant bees have giant stingers, okay, that leave a giant pain. And so, God knows how to do that. Now, what you have to do as you choose God is exercise faith in the power of God to do things. Your Bible says in Romans 1:20, it talks about the invisible things of Him through the creation of the world are clearly seen. Isn't that a paradox? How can you see something clearly when it's invisible? Isn't that weird? But He says, the invisible things of the world from the creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are what? Can you read it? Made. So the way you understand things you can't see is by looking at what God made. See that? God ties the physical world to your understanding of the unseen world. Okay? And it says, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. So the things of God are seen in this way, okay? So, things in creation, they're all over the place, right? You look out there and watch the imparted wisdom, we say, to the animals, okay? They know how to do things. They migrate north and south and land in the same nest. Who tells them where it's at? How do they get there? See? People say, well, you know, it evolved over millions and millions of years. Okay, well, who was the first bird that decided to fly? All of the things, see, around you in creation, when you really examine them, they come back to this. Okay? God did something very powerful and put it here. In evolution, it either came out of nothing, right? Is that possible? Let me hand you this. Here's some nothing. Can you please make something for me? Can anybody do that? Does that even make sense? If a person thought it made sense, would you think that they had a brain? No, okay. See, if you can make something from nothing, right, then you would have to be God. Okay? The second possibility is that it's always existed, that it's never not been here. Is that possible? It couldn't be possible, because it all gets older and worse and run down, right? It would just go away, okay? So the only left possibility you have that makes any kind of sense, any possibilities at all, is that the world that you live in was created by a supernatural being who sustains it, who keeps it where it is, who creates it with a purpose, okay? And this is what he says. So you have to have faith in God's power to serve God. You have to have faith in God's promises. Faith in His promises, that's important, okay? What are His promises? They're all over the place, right? Okay? But some of the ones you really got to get a hold of are this. He says this, "Call unto me, and I will answer you." How many, you got a cell phone? If you got a cell phone, have you ever called someone and they don't pick up? You call your mom, you need to ride home from school or something, she's not picking up, right? You call somebody, see, you ever had that? It's aggravating, isn't it? You know what a promise of God is? No one ever called on the Lord and didn't get an answer. Now the answer might have been no, but He always answers. You know in the Bible, no one ever invited Jesus Christ into their home and He didn't come in? Everybody that invited Jesus to come, not one time in the Bible does it say, you know, I'm pretty busy, and I'm trying to get the disciples down here, and we're going fishing, and I got to walk on the water today and everything, and it's going to be a really big day, and I just can't. That never happened one time. Do you have anybody in your life that will always, any time of day when you need them, be there for you? No. But you do in Jesus Christ, see? And choosing to serve Him brings that into play. The last thing about it is that it's a definite choice. 24:15 says, "Choose this day whom you serve." He says, "Whether the gods of your fathers who serve on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites." When you choose to serve God, it's a definite choice. It's not just a, well, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. It's a choice to do something with your life, okay? Says this, definite plan, okay? When you put a plan together, it means that you have you're going to build like you draw the blueprints for a plan, right? And you plan to build this thing like this, okay? So in your life, if you want a plan, you go to the Lord. And the plan in your life will always be an eternal plan. God never intended for you to be temporary. That's why you're here. You say, well, how do I know that God's not done using me in His work? Easy. You're here. When He's all done with you, you will be there. Okay? His plan in you, see, when it's complete, is you get off the planet. You go. All right? And so the definite of the choice serving God is there's a plan in it. Okay. Then there's also a purpose in it. If you build something with no purpose, what happens to it? What if you went out here and you said, we're going to build, we need to build this building out here. And somebody said, what is it? We said, well, we don't really know. That's not important. We're going to build it out here. And we just build and we've got, you know, all this stuff going on. What is it? Well, you know, we don't really know. But we built it and that's what we do. What happens to it? Does anybody use it? No. Because it has no purpose. So when something has no purpose, you know what happens in time? It decays. It falls apart. It's of no value, all right? That's why with the Lord, when you serve the Lord, He gives you a definite purpose, all right? He gives you a purpose, all right? Your purpose in life will become the focus of God's word getting to someone else through your life. He'll link you to someone else, as we'll see later. And then the plan of God, the reason it's a definite plan is because it has a definite time. God shows up in your life at definite times and lets you choose and brings it to you, all right? Now, what happened here at the end of this then is Joshua then, the people say, "We will serve the Lord." Okay, "We will serve the Lord." And so they decide to do it. And he goes out and gets this stone. And in the, if you go over the Holy Land, you still see them. And they have these, they call them a standing stone. And they take these stones and most of them are oblong, and they stand them up. Okay? They'd raise them up like that so that the littlest end is here, and kind of put it in the ground. So that when a person came by and they saw this thing standing out here, they knew that, one, this is not natural. Something important happened here. Because this stone normally would be laying flat, but it's up in the air like this. All right. Then he wrote on the stone. So when people came by and saw that somebody wrote on the stone, they knew this. Someone who raised up this stone had a message, had something that they wanted people to know, and they carved it into that. Because birds don't come down and peck something into it. They don't write. People write, okay? And that stone was there, all right? And he said, "This stone is a reminder and a testimony." And he says these words, "The stone heard what you said." Verse 16 and 17. So he said, "This stone can be a testimony against you." Remember that? It's in 24. Now at first, and probably for a long time, it sounds kind of weird. The stone heard me. Right? How many have a computer, cell phone? You got one of them? Do you know what's in the chip that actually absorbs, that makes your sound card? That comes from two things. One, they call it red earth. Red earth is from pulverized stones. And the other comes from stone. In other words, as weird as it sounded, a stone can record you. Now, we won't get weird, but there's a verse in the Bible that's kind of interesting along this line. When Jesus is coming down into Jerusalem, remember this last day? Remember that? He rode the mule? He rides that in the city. You know what he says? These people are saying, "Praise God and hallelujah and hosanna to the king." Remember that? And the people said, "Tell him to shut up. The guards are here. If they know that, they're going to close us down. You'll get us in trouble." And Jesus said, "If they don't speak, the stones are going to cry out." Almost like a voice recording in there, right? Okay? And what that means is that in a supernatural way, when you choose to serve the Lord, then what you do in your life is you put things there to remind you of the decision that you made. Sometimes some other person will put it there, and sometimes you will put it there, all right? For instance, in my life, it's this way. I made a great decision to serve the Lord at camp. So when I see camp or hear the word camp, it reminds me of the decision I made a long time ago to serve the Lord, okay? The Lord does the same for you. If you make the right decision here in this camp, and you say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I've been serving people. And so I've been going out, and my Facebook and everything about me is all what people want me to do. But today, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to serve you," all right? You do that in this place. You know what will happen? Every time you come back to this place or see a picture of it, you'll remember that. And God tuned you that way because He knows you need a reminder. All right. So in the land is this. Now the Bible says this. These people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Okay? In other words, people served the Lord as long as they knew what this stone stood for. And when nobody spoke of it anymore and they let it go, it just became a stone. And the people turned from God. You remember what happened in the land of Israel when they didn't choose the Lord anymore? They turned in to people that tried to serve the Lord the way the world did. And they became so vile. They were full of sexual sins, homosexuality, adultery, idolatry. All of that was there. And what did God do? He said He drove them out of the place of their blessing because they didn't choose what these people chose. Now that's where you are today, right? Your choice to serve the Lord will have an effect on generations behind you. What you do with the Lord now is not just about you and how happy, it's about people that come behind you and what they're going to do, all right? And that's why in your life, if you choose to serve the Lord, then you begin to establish things in your life that are definite signs you serve the Lord. You read your Bible when no one else does. You pray when no one else does. You go to church, right? You do these things, and what are they? They're physical signs of your choice, okay? And that's where you have to be. So tonight, first lesson, I just say to you, the choice to serve the Lord is yours. Your parents made choices that God allowed them to make. God made choices that He wanted to make for you before you ever got here. The next phase of choices is yours. And you have the Bible and the witness of all the older people here and your parents and other people that you do know, right? That people who choose to serve the Lord find the happiness they're looking for. And people who don't chase dreams all their life and never find it. They never find it. And it's because you can't find it. It's in front of you with Jesus Christ. It's already here, see? And it's serving the Lord. All right, let's bow our heads for just a minute. I want to pray in just a moment and then we'll open up and maybe have, if they've got a question or anything, but anybody here tonight that, you know, you just, maybe you've already made some bad choices. You're not sure really what to do. How do you make up for a bad choice? You know, and a lot of people worry about that. Well, I did something stupid and I know what to do. The way to undo the bad choice is to make the right choice and to choose to serve the Lord. That's where it begins. And when you come to serve the Lord, then of course you, as He said, you turn from the gods and all the things that you built in your life and you were worshiping, so to speak, that were false, and you come to the truth. And maybe you're here like that, and tonight maybe that's the prayer you need to pray. Say, Lord, forgive me, and I've made mistakes out of vengeance. I've made mistakes out of needing friends. I wanted friends or whatever it was for, whatever it was about. But I don't want to make them anymore. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do that. You may need to pray that tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've just never made the decision. You just never come to the place and just kind of said, okay, you know what? On my own, from this day forth, I'm going to do the things. I'm going to serve the Lord and ask the Lord God to help me know what to do and when to do it as an individual from now on. I have followed my parents serving the Lord. Maybe I've done what they wanted to do, but from this night forward, it will be my choice. I will serve the Lord because I want to do it. And I will learn the ways of the Lord because I want to do it. Whatever your case is, as we bow our heads, pray that prayer to the Lord, will you? He'll answer. He'll help you out. Father, now as we bow before you,